Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We are broadcasting from Spokane, Washington, in the heart of the American Redoubt. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrash Economy Thursday.
Thrash them. Yes.
Well, oof, boy, with the news, well, that's a standard kind of dismal outlook. But with the good news from the word of the day, well, geez, normally we've got something uplifting, but
this random turning,
yeah,
again?
The random turning is kind of like this is going to be a warning as to how close we're getting to what's coming if we don't turn back the tide with the Lord,
right.
You know. And so, well, I guess wherever you want to start with that. We did have somebody post on our channel, which is greatly appreciated, something that is good news. It sounds like good news. It's this article that describes that the FBI have arrested 126 suspects in a nationwide sex trafficking sting.
Wow.
And it says it also identified and located 200 victims, 59 of which are reportedly minors. Well, gosh.
The FBI needs those kind of stories right now.
Yes, you're not kidding. And it's about time, because really, look at what they've been doing instead. They've been attacking patriots and parents who attend, like, school board meetings.
Yes.
And so, you know, here we've got children being exploited for sex and for adrenochrome harvesting, organ harvesting. They're being killed and even used for blood draw for stem cell research. Apparently, they can only be up to 4 or 5 years old before the blood that they take from these little children that are trafficked, they can't use the blood for stem cell research anymore after they're that, you know, 4 or 5 years old, because then it's no longer effective. So when they've had all their blood drained from them, apparently an expert said, well, if you take a pint of blood from a four-year-old, typically it will kill them. And they said, yep, there it is. And then it just falls flat. This is what is happening to all of these tens of thousands of little kids that are being trafficked and disappear, that Congress says they can't find 85,000 of them. Well, thank God the FBI has at least found some of them, and they're starting to look in the right direction. Although we did have another person on our channel post something that was quite insightful, and I really appreciated that remark too. They said, it reminds me of my preacher's dog. Anytime someone comes to the house, he rushes around to find something to bark at, usually a cow, to act like he was doing something. Like, that's for sure.
Right.
Exactly. Because what on earth have they been doing for the past 2 years?
Yeah.
2.5 years while all this has been going on, and 85,000 little kids have gone missing. Well, so you know, good and yes, but do a whole bunch more of that, please. And
right.
And you know, there's another thing that all of this whole the release of the Sound of Freedom has had quite the stifling, silencing effect from the LGBT community. Have you noticed that?
Sure has. Yeah, except for the propaganda arm, you know, all of the news outlets trying to attack the Sound of Freedom. But I'll tell you what, they have gone silent. What a great way to close out Pride Month.
Exactly, by releasing it July 4th.
Yes, it Woo-hoo. Just went zip.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah, suddenly they have nothing to say, and they're not so proud and boisterous when we're unveiling what is actually happening to all these little kids that come here and that the LGBT community is trying so desperately to groom. you know, they end up being trafficked and disappear.
Right. So this is really encouraging. It's encouraging to see, you know, the FBI actually doing the right thing. And, you know, that's what they're for. That's they're supposed to go after the bad guys.
Exactly.
But, you know, this is, like you said, this is a drop in the bucket because of how monumental this is.
Yes.
I mean, the United States is the number one consumer of all things pedophilia, you know, pornography, right, and everything else. I mean, we deserve what's coming.
Oh, definitely.
And you could see it building up. It's palpable. You can feel it in the air. I mean, like, everybody has the sense something's about ready to break.
Yeah, like the hammer's being swung from a great distance.
Right. You can hear the whoosh of the hammer going through the air.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so is the word of the day backing that up as well, because check this out. This is what is going on while all of these little kids are being butchered. Instead of law enforcement cracking down on this, securing our border, making sure that our elections are secure so that this never happens,
right,
instead of law enforcement cracking down on that crime, they're going after innocent people and trying to make our President Trump look as though he had anything bad to do with anything at all, and he never did. In fact, yesterday we were describing the four charges that are associated with his latest sham indictment, and what's also interesting is attached to that is it lists six unprosecuted co-conspirators who will like listen to this. Co-conspirator 3, an attorney whose unfounded claims of election fraud the defendant privately acknowledged to others sounded crazy. Nonetheless, the defendant embraced and publicly amplified co-conspirator 3's disinformation.
Oh boy.
And it goes on to say quite a bit more about like they're trying to say there was no election fraud, and that anybody saying there was election fraud is a co-conspirator.
Right. I guess we're all co-conspirators here. You can't say that there's election fraud, even though everybody in the world
knows it,
saw what happened, and they know better.
Right.
And, you know, Trump is saying now that he's facing 561 years in prison from their witch hunts. But, you know, every time they pull a stunt like this, his numbers go up.
Right.
I mean, they're making him more and more popular all the time. And somebody pointed out on Revolver News, this was Darren J. Beatty. He said, basically, Biden's America just joined seven other garbage nations by arresting an opposition leader. The United States and its weaponized Department of Justice has joined the likes of Tunisia, Nicaragua, Georgia, and Uganda after it indicted President Trump.
Oh, wow.
I mean, essentially, that's what they do. They go after, and they did the same thing to Netanyahu in Israel.
Yep.
They're doing the same thing to Bolsonaro for January 8th uprising there, where millions of people saw their election stolen.
Right.
So now you can't even point to it and say election fraud, or you're a co-conspirator now.
Such garbage. You know, in fact, letter F of their charge of this indictment charge, it says, letter F, co-conspirator number 6, a political consultant who helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. You know, I mean, it's all of these people, all the people that are helping him to point out, you know, we're attorneys, we're people that know this system, and here's all of these fraudulent problems, you know. And
this is so Soviet, this is so communist. I mean, matter of fact, it was Stalin's right hand man, I can't remember his name, said, you show me the man and I'll find you the crime.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And just, you can take anybody down for anything. I mean, I once read a book called Three Felonies a Day. I think it's three.
Yeah.
Three Felonies a Day. And it was written by an attorney. And he's basically saying the average American commits three felonies a day without even realizing it.
Right.
I mean, this is how, you know, law heavy our country has been. So if you really want to target somebody, there's plenty out there. You could just drum anything up.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, that's just how you write it up. Well, and then how you, conduct court, you know, like a play.
Right. Well, and like we've been saying, and something that we need to keep hammering, and we hope that all of you will start repeating this to all of your conversations and circles and media posts as well, is that this is all, everything that is going on right now, this nation is crashing and burning strictly because of the electronic voting machines.
Yeah.
Have allowed the fraud, which allowed some communist coup to happen, and where we should have had our rightful, legally elected President Trump in place, who would have blocked the border, who would never have allowed any of this wide open crime to be happening because of a wide open border. The
right.
Child trafficking would not be happening. We would not be having tens of thousands of little children being butchered right now if it wasn't for electronic voting machines. And we have got to demand every single elected official understand that the cause of the worst problems that we're seeing right now is because of the electronic voting machines, and they have to be banned.
Right.
I mean, we can't go another day without them introducing legislation to ban the electronic voting machines.
Not just the voting machines, but also all the other ballot harvesting voter fraud that was revealed in 2000 Mules.
Right.
And, you know, they identified those people through cell phone tracking, which they won't use because it's not conclusive. But it was conclusive enough to use cell phone data to arrest patriots from January 6th.
Exactly.
You know, and so it needs to go get rid of the voting machines, paper ballots, voter ID, same day voting.
Well,
one day, or hand count.
Right, exactly. And the easiest, fastest thing to curb the majority of it is to ban the electronic voting machines, whereas like all of the details with the ballot harvesting and all of the other extra details and, you know, like cleaning off the death toll from each ballot registry
right.
before the elections, not after. That is the dumbest thing on the planet.
Right.
I can't even believe anybody has ever allowed that to begin with, and yet every state does that. So each of those things that can be done at the state level and through the authority of the state legislature, that those details can be left up to the states. But the banning of the electronic voting machines is something that Congress can do in a blanket statement across the whole nation.
Right. And then every state, especially the key states that were targeted, paper ballots.
Yeah, it's a no-go. Has to be a no-go.
Paper ballots, voter ID, and hand count.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
I mean, all of the extra ballot harvesting is what I meant was a no-go.
Right.
The paper ballots, yes, and ID right there at the time.
I knew what you meant.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Well, we're not short of solutions. We know the right thing to do, but we're just at war with people that they're bent on destroying America. And I'll tell you what, they're gonna succeed if we don't turn around. And matter of fact, let's get into the word of the day.
Right, exactly.
Because this really addresses this.
And that's what I'm trying to point out, is this has to happen sooner rather than later. Because as we're mentioning, the hammer, we can hear the wind coming off the hammer that is coming. And so it's on the way. We need to fix it now. And so the word of the day comes to us from the Book of Lamentations.
Ooh.
And so first of all, let me give you a little bit of an intro to the Book of Lamentations, because it says here that in the Bible notes, it describes, as was their custom, the Jews used the first word of the book as its title, and it originally became known as Ikah, which means how. This word was commonly used to mean something like alas, or like uh-oh, you know.
Right.
Compare its use in Isaiah as well. This is, some also referred to the book as Lamentations. However, this is how we arrived at that English title. The author is not named, but traditions long before Christ claim that Jeremiah wrote it. Some scholars have doubted this and point to a number of differences between the use of poetic style, words, and expressions in this book and those used in the book of Jeremiah, as well as to certain differences in emphasis. However, the prophet was known to compose laments from 2 Chronicles 35:25, and there is an even more impressive array of similarities, as we shall see when we examine the text. So more or less, it's kind of like it boils down to, it is more than likely Jeremiah that wrote this. And interesting, considering Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord, right, and what he wrote here is devastating to read, knowing that, I mean, when you and I read the prophets and we compare ourselves to the prophets, I mean, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to anyone but God.
Right.
But still, when you compare yourself even to a prophet, we're not even in the same state. You know what I mean? They're like a whole nation better than we are, you know?
Right.
And so to think that if Jeremiah had to go through this, oh my gosh, who are we to think that we wouldn't be exposed to this?
Right.
And that's another thing here
too.
We're
not exempt.
Is it says the Judahites had been able to think of themselves only as God's chosen race. Sound familiar?
Mm.
As such, they felt that they would always experience good things. God had made covenants of blessing with them, but these were conditional. Blatant disobedience would mean that the pleasurable aspects of blessing would be replaced by punishment. The fulfillment of the promises of blessing could always skip a few generations of disobedient Israelites.
Yeah.
And so that's a very important point, that they kind of feel like Americans do, American Christians do.
Right. We're exempt.
Like, we're good to go. This would never happen to us.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so this is frightful when you think of it from that aspect. And so reading verses 1 through 12, it reads, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who is great among the nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity, under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the set feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, all her splendor has departed. Her princes have become like deer that find no pasture, that flee without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and roaming, Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy with no one to help her. The adversary saw her and mocked at her downfall. Jerusalem has sinned gravely, therefore she has become vile. All who honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. Her uncleanness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore her collapse was awesome. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see. If there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger." And so, well, that's how it goes, because
that's a warning, certainly, that could apply to the United States.
Absolutely.
And what we're destined for, without repenting, then that's what's coming.
Right.
And now we are in the end times. We know that. And so, you know, this could just be the way it was always going to go. And we just happen to be on that timeline. But
exactly.
We still have a duty to stand, you know, to walk right, you know, to do justice.
Right.
To walk humbly with our God, to defend the defenseless.
Yep.
To promote righteousness, to call for repentance.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do right to the end.
Exactly. And for all of us Christians to turn from our wicked ways. I mean, we can all turn from something. I mean, even the best of us doesn't even stand toe-to-toe with any of these prophets.
Right.
You know? And so there's clearly much that we could do. For instance, if you read further in Lamentations, it's only 5 chapters. In fact, I encourage you to read it because it's not that depressing that you shouldn't read it. It's better that you read a warning and take heed and prevent the outcome than to ignore it and pretend like that could never happen to us, like the Jews had thought nothing could happen to them. And it says in chapter 3, 40 and 41, it says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and our hands to God in heaven.
Right.
We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned." And so absolutely, we must. That's just all there is to it. With all of our enemies doing what they're doing and accomplishing in the United States, this is the remedy.
Right. And that's happening on our watch.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, you do all you can within the limited power that you have, but it's, you know, it is an uphill battle for sure, you know. And good things are happening in small pockets. That's, by the way, what's the, why don't you put that scripture out one more time?
Okay, so that was Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 through 12.
Okay, good. Yeah, definitely a good one. You know, I had in my notes, there is something going on. I saw Washington State weighs in against Idaho's abortion travel ban. And there are some people in the fight that are trying to do the right thing. Now, Washington State has passed a law, basically any female that wants to get, at any age that wants to get an abortion, they can do it without their parents' knowledge or consent.
Wow.
And, you know, they're pushing to protect that. Well, Idaho passed a law that made it illegal to recruit, harbor, or transport a minor for an abortion to another state, deeming such an action unlawful trafficking.
Cool.
That's the Idaho law. So Washington State, Patty Murray, back in April, she piped up and said, oh, they're stealing women's rights and everything else. Well, this just came out from the Seattle Times. Washington is joining several states in challenging Idaho's recent abortion travel ban, arguing the new law is harmful and has already flooded Idaho's neighbors with residents seeking care, according to a brief filed Monday. So it's the third time Washington's weighed in on Idaho's latest abortion laws. State Attorney General Bob Ferguson, his office has been working on ways to maintain and expand access to abortion care since last summer's Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization decision. The law, which went into effect in Idaho in May, makes it illegal to recruit, harbor, or transport minors for abortions without parental consent and calls this aid to minors trafficking. So they're filing lawsuits and they're filing these amicus friend of the court briefs, fighting this to be able to get your children to be lured across state lines.
Wow.
So your grandchildren can be murdered.
I'm sorry. I am actually astonished at the brazen arrogance of that man, that attorney general. Who does he think he is? He's in Washington. He has nothing to do with the governing going on in Idaho.
Right. They're saying he's saying that the ban infringes on the right to interstate travel and First Amendment rights to talk about abortion with minors and engage in expressive conduct, the complaint argues. All right, we're talking about minors here.
Right, right.
You don't have a constitutional right to try to coerce somebody else's child into murdering their unborn child.
That's right.
That's not a, your rights. They all agree. Hey, your rights stop at the tip of somebody else's nose. You don't have the right to punch somebody in the nose and say, I'm expressing my, you know, First Amendment rights.
Right.
You can't yell fire in a movie theater, right? And then cause a stampede and people get killed. So the left will argue all rights have limitations, right?
Right.
Except where something like this, where they don't even, you don't have the right to talk somebody's daughter into killing their baby and right. then transporting them and sneaking them across the border without the parents' knowledge or consent.
Yep.
That is crossing the line.
Yep.
That parents have the ultimate authority over their children and their grandchildren, and that's where it belongs.
Right.
And so anybody coming in there and encroaching, and so this from a state level, this is the kind of stuff right here that has got the hammer coming toward us.
Exactly.
People like that that are in leadership positions.
That guy is out to lunch. Holy cow.
Yeah, he's right there with Inf Lee and all the rest of the clowns in the circus.
Well, he has been behaving illegally ever since he's been in office. And way back when my property rights group and I were fighting him, we published 14 things that would be unconstitutional according to the Constitution itself if he pursued them, and we published them in the paper, and we actually turned him back from taking that action. Mm. And surprising, but he's still up to the fact that he tries to behave and act illegally against the law every turn he gets.
Right, but they want Idaho to respect Washington's laws for, you know, marijuana and right. you know, whatever else. But
right.
That's, you know, pretty much to be expected.
Yep.
But
said, he's totally out to lunch.
Yeah. Well, we got to stand against these people, and good on the people of Idaho for drawing a line there and standing with it.
Yep. Good job. So,
all right. Well, we're out of time, but you guys have a blessed day. No break today. Just right on through, but some really great content, plenty to pray about, plenty to study and read up on. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a thankful Thrashakami Thursday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.